Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 15th of July, 2013, the podcast that smuggles the truth in its trousers. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's mistranslate the news of the bogus. And from our What's the Harm department comes the story of an IRS blunder that should make us all think twice about government having our information in this day of NSA wiretapping and metadata sniffing. One big item any identity thief looks for is your social security number, and now they all just got a big shot in the arm after the IRS accidentally put tens of thousands of SSNs out on the internet in plain text where anyone can see them. It was the nonprofit group public.resource.org that spotted the error, calling it, quote, an extraordinarily reckless act. And they promptly notified the IRS, who shut down the database the next day. But what's unknown is if anyone grabbed any of the numbers while it was up. Folks, it only takes one screw-up like this to let the wrong people cause misery for lots of Americans. And the sad part is, this wasn't just one screw-up. According to a statement released by public.resource.org, they previously discovered 500,000 SSNs entered into the public record. They credit the GPO with dealing with this very quickly, but say the DOD was, quote, much slower to react. They also found large amounts of SSNs in Court of Appeals opinions and even in the U.S. District Court PACER system. The nonprofit reports receiving, quote, a great deal of resistance by the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts, although they did say they got thanks from individual judges. According to their statement, quote, the IRS effort to date has been unprofessional and amateur. The IRS has even gone so far as to assert copyright by the government on the Political Disclosures Database in direct violation of the Works of Government Clause of the Copyright Act. The IRS has a policy that, even in an emergency, their staff are not allowed to use email to communicate with organizations such as ours, a policy that makes it much harder to respond to incidents quickly. The IRS has recklessly violated the privacy of Americans. It is time now for the administration to send a tiger team over to the IRS to help fix their information management practices. The IRS has indulged too often in bad information technology, and this habit has become ingrained in the culture and procedures of the service. It is time now for the IRS to admit that it needs help. That is the first step towards recovery. Maybe another step is for people to stop trusting the government and demand the dismantling of these organizations that have been shown time and time again to be much more of a threat to innocent people than the benefit they supposedly provide. Getting the budget under control and cutting spending to the point where we can balance the budget and get rid of the income tax will solve so many of the problems people in our country face, and this is just one of them. It's long past time we ended the IRS. Here's hoping more start to realize that. There was a possible malware presence on the computers of the Electronic Development Association, part of the Department of Commerce, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The NOAA was able to isolate and clean up the problem in a few weeks, but the EDA took more of a scorched earth policy. They disconnected its systems from the rest of the world, and the contractor they hired to fix the problem found malware on 6 systems, which was easily cleaned and repaired. Then, the EDA started physically destroying machines that had been shown to be uninfected, as well as destroying keyboards and mice. Wait, what? They destroyed computer mice to get rid of malware? Wait a second, let me check the address bar. Nope, it's not the Onion. The destroyed equipment also included printers and cameras, and they only stopped destroying the hardware when they ran out of money to do so. Wait a second. Nope, still not the Onion. The EDA took the extreme measures because they concluded that the malware was an attack from a foreign nation. No, hang on, this has to be the Onion! Nope, Ars Technica. Man, Tom Lehrer was right. There's no point in doing political satire anymore. Folks, this was very common malware of the kind people like you and me need scanners to protect ourselves from. There is no indication whatsoever that this was a deliberate infection, the work of a foreign nation state, or was in any way persistent. To say this was an overreaction is a complete understatement. This was stupid and ignorant, and it really seems that you don't actually need to commit a cyber attack against government agencies. They're all too willing to do the damage on their own. Of course, they are the Economic Development Administration. Maybe they were just reading too much Krugman and thought they were stimulating the economy. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit libertyclassroom.com. Warning! The following story may be disorienting to those who don't live in Nazi Germany and think they live in a country free of eugenics. Doctors working for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation forcibly sterilized 148 female inmates from 2006 to 2010, and there may be another 100 or more from previous years. Apparently, between 1997 and 2010, the state of California paid doctors almost $150,000 to perform tubal ligations, mostly on women who were deemed likely to be repeat offenders. One prison inmate, Crystal Nguyen, overheard the medical staff talking about this. Quote, "I was like, oh my God, that's not right. Do they think they're animals and they don't want them to breed anymore?" Christina Cordero, who spent 2 years in prison for stealing a car, was one of the ones pressured into having the procedure done. Quote, "As soon as he," that's Dr. James Heinrich, "found out that I had 5 kids, he suggested that I look into getting it done. The closer I got to my due date, the more he talked about it. He made me feel like a bad mother if I didn't do it. Today, I wish I would have never had it done." When Heinrich was asked about these procedures and the $147,460 of taxpayer money the doctors were paid for it, he replied, quote, "That isn't a huge amount of money compared to what you save in welfare paying for these unwanted children as they procreated more." Unbelievable. California was one of the last states to ban forced sterilization of prison inmates in 1979. Now, the law says that no federal funds can be used for sterilization procedures on prison inmates, and that in order for state funds to be used, medical officials in Sacramento have to approve the procedures on a case-by-case basis. But none of these procedures were ever approved by the committee. Then in 2010, State Senator Carol Liu discovered the procedures were being done. Her research found that the doctors weren't even aware that they needed state approval to perform the sterilization procedures. It's been illegal since 1979 to pressure anyone to be sterilized or to ask for consent during labor or childbirth, but these doctors were doing precisely that. Being in prison does not mean you're a bad mother, and it certainly doesn't mean you shouldn't be allowed to have children. This kind of thing should be unthinkable in the 21st century in the first world. But unfortunately, it's clear we have a long way to go. Something else that should be unthinkable is drone strikes on innocent people. This podcast has covered before how the Obama administration is not only using drones to kill several civilians for every suspected terrorist, they also follow up with another strike a few minutes later to kill any first responders to the scene, a tactic known as the double tap. In a recent drone strike that killed 17 people in Pakistan, rescuers waited to provide help for fear of becoming the victims of a second attack. Back in 2007, the FBI called the double tap a terrorist tactic. But I guess that's only when it's done by countries that aren't America. Folks, if any other country did it, it would be called a war crime. Far from the case that drone strikes are robotic and surgical, they create more collateral damage, in other words, killing innocent people than manned fighter strikes. A study from the NYU School of Law and Stanford Law School found that drone strikes are, quote, an order of magnitude more likely to result in civilian casualties per engagement. In other words, 10 times as many innocent people, people who aren't even so much as suspected of a crime, are killed when drones are used. How can anyone defend this? Just this past May, Obama said, quote, conventional air power or missiles are far less precise than drones and likely to cause more civilian casualties and local outrage. What's it gonna take, people? Bush was called a war criminal for doing far less than this, and rightfully so. But now, someone with a D beside his name instead of an R does much, much worse. And where are you? Obama is a war criminal. Obama is a murderer. And if there were any justice in a country that condescends to call itself free, he would be impeached and sent to prison for life. But he's in the government, and he has the right letter beside his name. So it's all good. Everything is forgiven. All hail the cult of the omnipotent state. So what's it gonna take, people? And how many more innocent people will have to die until then? Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address, or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And you'll help this podcast too. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now it's time to steam sterilize this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to T. Steelman of Addicting Info for her article, Have We All Been Fooled by Edward Snowden?, in which he tries to prove that deep down Edward Snowden is as evil as Oskar Schindler, or at least as evil as the Nazis considered him to be, or at least would have considered him to be if they'd actually known what he was up to, or something. Whatever. Just listen to her describe Snowden as a horrible fiend. Quote, Snowden revealed that he was a Ron Paul supporter and championed a return to the gold standard along with short-selling stocks. She also said that Snowden referred to unemployment as, quote, a correction and a necessary part of capitalism. Yeah, we're really getting the picture of a dangerous traitor to the U.S. here, aren't we? She continues, quote, his disdain of President Obama and his policies was apparent, and he bitched about them with increasing frequency. But there are two issues where, I believe, where Snowden's true colors shine very clearly. And she provides an old chat log where he advocates cutting Social Security and then quotes him as saying, quote, F old people, an objectivist view if ever there was one. But if she'd read her own transcript, she would have seen that it wasn't Snowden who said F old people. It was another user reacting to him, putting those words in his mouth, and Steelman was all too ready to accommodate his request. But what Snowden was actually saying was that many old people like his grandmother are able to support themselves. Get the idea? She also goes after Snowden's position on the Second Amendment and another part where other forum posters call him, quote, kind of a dick. Wait, so you found a forum archive with posts by people who didn't like him, and that's the worst you could find anyone saying about him? Jeez, who doesn't get called worse than that on the internet? Then at the end she brings home the crazy, quote, is he the concerned whistleblower, or did he have an ulterior motive to spill what he did? Why was he hired, and why did he pick now to speak out? This has never smelled right to me. Is this whole thing a ruse to make the president look bad? If so, who is funding it? Who is paying for all his travel and hotels? Or is Edward Snowden, a man who has completely destroyed his own life, just stupid? Right, because those are the only two options. It occurs to me that if the truth makes someone look bad, then that someone should be made to look bad. Funny that this conspiratard nonsense is coming from a self-described freedom activist, although on the other hand she is a Wiccan high priestess, so I guess scientific rationality is probably out of the question. At any rate, her entire article is, at best, an ad hominem attack. It doesn't matter what kind of person Edward Snowden is. It doesn't matter what his real motivation in releasing this information was. It doesn't matter if anyone paid him to do it or if he was acting alone. The only thing that matters is whether or not the information he released is real, and no one's even trying to claim that it isn't. So to try and deflect from all that and try and draw attention away from Obama's misdeeds by painting Snowden as some sort of bad guy is more than enough to get T. Steelman named this week's biggest bogon emitter. And now it's time to get up and bar this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Oh, Florida, Florida, Florida. Ever since our occasional co-host Jonathan Loche clued us into Florida basically banning internet cafes in a pathetic attempt to crack down on online gambling, and we followed up with the story that it might end up banning Chuck E. Cheese as well, we've all been wondering, what's next? Well, now it turns out that the law is so badly worded that it might ban, get this, cell phones and the internet. That's actually the idea behind a new lawsuit filed in Miami-Dade Circuit Court. According to Miami attorney Justin Kaplan, quote, "They rushed to judgment, and they took what they saw as a very specific problem and essentially criminalized everything." According to Kaplan, who represents Incredible Investments LLC in the suit, the banned devices constitute any system or network of devices that may be used in a game of chance. So if you put a die-rolling app on your smartphone, it's illegal. No, scratch that. If it's even possible for you to put a die-rolling app on your smartphone, it's illegal, regardless of whether or not you actually use it for that or not. And what's a game of chance? Does solitaire count? If so, there goes every Windows and Linux machine in the state. Kaplan even pointed out, quote, "The ones they use to draft this legislation are illegal." Since the law was passed, about 200 adult arcades and over 1,000 internet cafes have been closed down. And since the law gives the state attorney the discretion to decide whom to prosecute, then that essentially gives him power to close down whomever he wants to. As Kaplan pointed out, quote, "Starbucks is running illegal slot machines because they provide their customer with a Wi-Fi system that indirectly allows people to gain access to their phone to allow them to play games of chance that allow payouts." Many owners of video arcades are accusing the state of Florida of selective enforcement. In violation of the Due Process Clause, more upscale arcades are being left alone while the smaller video game parlors are being closed down, even though their games are essentially the same. And the result, if not the very motivation itself, is easy to see. Michael Wolf is an attorney who represents the Florida Arcade Association, who is filing suit against many arcade owners hoping to get them shut down under the law. What do you want to bet none of them are members of his association? Wolf has even said he plans to file lawsuits in every county in the state. Meanwhile, Florida House Speaker Will Weatherford still defends the law, saying, quote, "I am proud that we shut down the illegal internet cafes in Florida. It's a good policy, and I'm only disappointed it took this long to do it." Passing such a boneheaded law is bad enough. Continuing to defend it, even after all these problems have been pointed out? The only way to describe stupid on that level is by naming it this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Snap, Crackle, Pop edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free, but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page, and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from William Butler Yeats. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Symphony No. 2, The Bells, was composed by Aram Khachaturian and performed by the Vienna Philharmonic. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No. 3.0 Unported License. Bogosity.